come back. Your dreams were your ticket. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me, as always, except for 2019, of course, the Mac to my Charlie and the totally rad to my gnarly, it's Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Scott. Good evening. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Well, it's only been 3 months. Man, I almost wish we were a paying podcast, because people demanding refunds, like, we're not getting our money's worth. Yeah, screw off. Anyway, we are back after 3 months, and joining us tonight, not just because, Dan, I think you watched maybe two TV shows all last year, but because he's become a mostly respected contributor and guest co-host on this podcast. Let's all say hello to Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Such a warm welcome. Thank you, Dan.
Brian, you're respected by all of the listeners and half of the podcast hosts, so welcome.
That is pretty much where we were going with that. So we are back, and I know we're already well into 2020, but unlike a year plus ago, we did want to do a wrap-up for 2019. And by wrap-up, we mean what our selections, or in this case, my selections, and a few of Brian's also, of our favorite shows from 2019. We are doing something different this year, which is kind of cool, I think. Despite the name of our podcast being the Serious TV Drama Podcast, obviously, we talk about all sorts of things. So tonight's show is actually going to be more comedy-themed. We are only going to be presenting a list based on what we thought the best comedies of 2019 were. So as far for the folks who are waiting for the best drama list, that will be in the next podcast. And we swear we will get that one recorded, not in 3 months, hopefully within days of this one, depending on our three respective schedules. Yes.
In the best drama lists, I would always add at least one comedy.
Oh yeah, yes you did.
Now that we're doing it, I didn't watch any comedies last year, so fuck. Oops.
I love that you're not participating in the list, but you're still able to get your first curse within a couple of minutes of the podcast. Well, it's all right. We're explicit rated. You can curse as much as you want.
I watched one comedy last year, but I don't know how much Cheers season 2 talk I need to be bringing to the.
I'm just amazed it wasn't Frasier. So there you go. Yeah,
well, I just watched an episode at the beginning of season 3 with Frasier. So
there you go. Well, you know, staying in this comedy vein, when I was compiling my list, it's interesting. There's a couple shows over the course of the year which kind of have that borderline, and you're trying to decide, is it a comedy or is it a drama? One show in particular that came to my mind that I watched this past year was Russian Doll. It was a new show on Netflix. And even when you look at how it's listed as both comedy and drama. Okay, I can see someone making a case for it being in the drama category. Not just because the episodes are only 20-something minutes long each, but, you know, I understand why someone would categorize it that way. But overall, I thought the storyline and a lot of the plot points and the emotional aspects of the series really, for me, pushed it more into the drama category. So if that show should come up, it won't come up later in this podcast, but it might show up in the next podcast. I think you feel similarly about that, right, Brian?
I do.
Yeah, and because you actually watch Russian Doll, so.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because in some ways with dramas, I mean, first of all, dramas can certainly have a sense of humor because I would even go as far as say I might have gotten bigger laughs over the last 20 years from dramas than most comedies. I mean, you can go back to The Sopranos or you can just be more current like with Fargo or Better Call Saul. I've gotten major laughs out of those that were probably better than what I got out of most sitcoms over the years. So it can happen. One other thing I wanted to mention, or a couple things I wanted to mention before we get to the countdown. I gave serious thought to including Saturday Night Live, but only the four episodes in 2019 that featured former staff members returning to host, which would be Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, and Eddie Murphy. Wait, that's only three. I said four. Oh, I'm including John Mulaney because he was on one of the best episodes of the year, and he used to be a writer on SNL. I really thought about it, and then I said, nah, the rest of the show sucked. I'm not going to put it in. So couldn't do that. And that's pretty much it. There is a new comedy that just premiered on HBO. I don't know how many folks out there have watched it yet. Brian, I know you watched the first episode. I've watched the first two. It's called Avenue 5. I don't know if it's maybe after only a couple episodes, it's in that too soon to tell category. It's a show, it's got a great pedigree because Armando Iannucci is the creative force behind it. You know, he's the guy who created Veep. He had that huge, great political sitcom In the Thick of It and the movie that followed that, In the Loop. But going from political humor to this cruise ship that's stranded in outer space, he's really shifting genres here. So I can't really make up my mind about it. I can't decide if it's actually funny at all or it's just a premise that's supposed to be funny and with quirky / annoying characters. You know, I'm going to stick with it because of who's behind it and because I'm a big Hugh Laurie fan, but I don't know if I'm loving it just yet after two episodes.
I wasn't loving it after one, but I haven't watched the second one yet, so.
Yeah, it's, and you know, and I, Josh Gad, I go back and forth on depending on what role he's playing. You know, I saw him on Broadway in the first run of The Book of Mormon. I thought he was really good in that. I know I've seen him good in some things. I've seen him really annoying in some things. He's playing a kind of annoying character here. So I don't know, but I'm going to give it more of a leash because it is Iannucci doing it. It is Hugh Laurie, who I love. But I could definitely see if by like midway through the season, if I'm still kind of like, with it, I might just kick it to the curb. Although there's been a lot of shows, especially comedies, that had kind of weak first seasons, but then got better as they went along. Although I don't know how long a shelf life a show like this is going to have, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, it has potential, has a great cast, and the production value is good, but
yeah,
it just didn't hit with me right off the bat.
Yeah, it's go okay. Cool. Yep.
Oh, I'll just let me know when you're done talking about that, and I'll talk about something. I got confused. Sorry.
Again, this podcast is free. I'm finished talking about that, Dan. What would you like to say?
Well, just speaking of HBO comedies, I guess I did watch the first episode of one last year, Righteous Gemstones. I don't know if either one of you guys watched that at all, but I watched the first episode. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Did you only watch the one episode, or did you continue with it?
I only watched one, and I must have been staying in a motel or something and watched it, and then I just kind of forgot to go back to it. But since you mentioned HBO comedy series, then I remember like, oh yeah, I started that and I actually liked it.
Right? Wasn't that the same people who were behind the previous one with Goggins and Billy? Yeah. What's his face?
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride, like Billy. Why did I say Billy? Danny McBride. The school one, which I'm, was it Vice Principals? Was that what it was?
Yeah. Yes. I think it's Jody Hill and Danny McBride and somebody else.
I remember seeing the ads for it. There was something about it that didn't compel me to check it out, but you know, maybe down the line.
At least the first episode, it was pretty funny. You know, John Goodman's always good. And they seem like they're really having a good time playing the, you know, playing the parts.
I never even saw, what was the big one, the baseball, was it East Side and Down? Was that what it was called?
Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down? I don't remember what it was called. I never saw it. I heard it was good, but I never saw it. So.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, too. I've seen a few seasons of that.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It usually takes a lot for me to give a comedy a shot to begin with. It's almost amazing that I watched as many comedies this year as I did, because normally if I even watch half a dozen in a year, that's kind of miraculous. And I watched more than twice that many this year. So hence why my list is going to be as long as it is. So actually, since we're talking about that, maybe we should get there. So, drum roll or take a pause here. And so, for the first time ever, our little STVD podcast somewhat proudly presents my choices for the best comedy series of 2019. I'm going to be going with a dozen here. Nice top 12 list. That's right, because I didn't want to do top 10 because I'm a jerk that way. Wait till you hear the drama one in the next podcast. People are really going to hate me. So, however, unlike most times I do these lists, I will spare everybody any list of, well, these are my honorable mentions or the ones that almost made it, whatever. No, I'm just going to give you what my 12 are. If Brian or anyone brings up one that isn't on the list, I'll either say I didn't watch it or it just didn't make my list. So let me get things started. And I think, Brian, I'm pretty sure you've seen, I don't think you've seen all the ones on my list here, but I think you've seen the majority of them. So feel free to chat up anyone that you have seen once I give the once I say what it is and all that kind of shit. All right, so professional. Can't believe it's been 3 months since we podcasted. All right, so starting off with number 12. My number 12 comedy of 2019 was Glow. The third season of Glow, it took place entirely in Las Vegas. Where the Glow team performed essentially the same show every night as a Vegas act. I thought it was a good season. I thought maybe it fell into a little bit of a rut due to that repetition. So the wrestling, the brainstorming, the preparation, the execution probably didn't play as significant a part as it did in the first two seasons. But regardless of that, there was a lot of really strong character work, especially with the character Bash Howard, who had always seemed kind of one to two dimensional at best before this season. I mean, I think most viewers, we kind of knew where they were going to go with this character, but they still pulled it off in a fairly powerful or emotionally satisfying way. And one thing I'm saying about this series, which is really true, I'm going to say of most of the series on this list, it also shows how comedy has changed so much over the years. It's going to be interesting to note that what makes them strong tends to be the dramatic aspect of the show rather than the actual laughs. You know, there's a lot of shows on this list that I might not laugh that much while watching an episode, but I still find them, you know, incredibly satisfying or worthwhile watching for that reason.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think you and I were talking off mic before we started about how drama and comedy have sort of merged in this peak TV era, and a lot of those shows straddled that divide.
Yeah, absolutely. And a great example of that is a show I know that you're a big fan of. It's my number 11 show, which means it just missed the top 10. My number 11 show is Barry, and I know you probably expected this was going to be a lot higher on my list. But here's the thing. When it came down to it for me, if you take away one incredibly intense episode, which was really more white-knuckle tension than anything remotely humorous, you kind of end up with a season that was still good. But I personally felt it lacked some of the inventiveness from the first season. And there was kind of a catch-22 situation going on with the show. On one hand, I really enjoyed the expanded character work by, you know, veteran actors on the show like Steven Root and Henry Winkler. I thought they were really strong. But it didn't make their characters more fun for me to watch than they were in season one. And finally, I'm still, although I really like the show, big fan of the show, but I'm not a big fan of that the wannabe acting troupe, and specifically the Sally character. Just never really quite works for me. But I'm still a big fan of the show. It just missed my top 10.
I agree that it leaned into the drama, and I think from what I saw of between season one and two, I think Hader turned a lot of heads in season one. And I think his dramatic chops were so impressive, they leaned into that in season two, which was an extremely satisfying show with a lot of good laughs. But I think it went more into the drama than the previous season, but a great choice. It's on my list as well.
Oh, yes. And we will get to... We'll probably do an intermission in my list and let you go through your list just so people can take a break from hearing me talk, actually, for nothing else. So now we get to break into the top 10. And a certain other co-host probably is not going to agree with how low I put this show. I have a lot of surprises. On my drama list, too, there's going to be surprises of where certain shows rank, because shows that you think ranked higher did not for me. And especially on this list, my number 10 show is The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Once again, I thought I was going to be popping this one higher, but I'm going to be honest. The only reason this even made my top 10 was really based on the strength and likability of its cast. You know, Midge, Susie, Abe, Rose. But I got to tell you, until we got to the final minutes of the season, I didn't feel like anything really affected or impacted Midge at all for the entire season. And I understood, I read articles after the fact that was kind of their intention, because all the crap's going to go down in the following season. I don't find that to be a good rationalization for an entire season, because there's no genuine dramatic tension for the main character. There's no real conflict for her. And I don't care if you're doing a hardcore drama or a slapstick comedy or something in between. You got to have that kind of form of conflict in order for it to really work. It's script writing 101. So for me, that was problem number one with the show this season. Beyond that, Abe and Rose seem to be in limbo for the entire season. They never really get to do anything that's really all that interesting. I mean, was there really a point for Rose to go see her family? No, not really. Never amounted to anything. Did anyone really buy any of the stuff with Abe and the Beatniks? No, it just seemed like they just wanted to give Tony Shalhoub something to do, but it didn't really seem to add up to anything. And the whole Abe and Rose have to go live with the Maisels, it really felt forced to me, and it got really tiresome really fast. Like, I'm a big Kevin Pollak fan. I started to get tired of him. I mean, I don't even want to talk about the one playing his wife. I still can't make up my mind about Joel and the whole Chinatown Club whatever thing. It was, I don't even know what to make of that, quite frankly. What saved the show and made me continue to like it, and why it still made the top 10 for me, was really the storyline with Susie and Sophie Lennon. That was very entertaining. And then you got recurring appearances from actors like Jason Alexander and even Sterling K. Brown, who was much more watchable and enjoyable in this than he tends to be on This Is Us, because I'm just getting tired of his sanctimonious crap there. They really added some muscle to a very strong cast. So I think those factors kept the show from within the top 10 confines for me. Do you even watch the show, or I don't remember if you watch it?
I did, and I liked it, but I felt like this season, the arc of this season reminded me of what shows used to be, that if this had been like a 22 episode order, or say even like a 16 episode order, that they would have stretched stuff out. This felt like a stretch. The thing that wins it for me is, you know, the thing that keeps me going back, obviously, is just how great Rachel Brosnahan is. She's, you know, amazing. And I love her work, and I love Susie. Is it Susie, the manager?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Like their, the growth of their relationship and where that's went and how it's went on, I think that's really the winning stuff. The other stuff felt like the kind of filler stuff you would have seen in a longer episode order and didn't really, I think, add anything. Like you said, I thought it was good, but it lost a little bit of the urgency it had in previous seasons for me.
Right. Urgency. That's a good point. And you know, and with conflict comes urgency. You know, like there's this whole issue that happens during the course, we discovered during the course of the season, where we realize that Susie has developed a gambling habit, and she's actually, well, the impression is that I think she's gambled away money that would have been Midge's, and she's freaking out about what to do or how to get the money back. Midge never finds out about it. It never becomes a genuine issue, and that kind of bothered me. I was like, you know, they just kind of, oh, there's something really cool that could happen. Oh, it never happened. And if something comes up about it in the following season, it's going to feel like it's after the fact because it's right. Already been resolved. So, again, I really like the there's more that I like about the show. I agree with you. I love the main character. I love the actress. I also and Susie, the one person we haven't mentioned. I love whenever they have Lenny Bruce show up. He's fantastic. I'm fascinated to see where they. How long they go on with the show, if they're going to get to the death of Lenny Bruce or not, because that's going to really hit hard. But it just, I just felt it was kind of a dip from the previous two seasons.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, my number nine show, and I don't think you've watched this, and if you have, I'll be intrigued to hear your opinion on it, but I'm assuming you haven't. My number nine show is a little show on Hulu called Letterkenny. Now, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, Letterkenny is this Canadian comedy series that really relies on a mixture, good lord, of lowbrow, mediumbrow, highbrow, all sorts of brow humor. You can have fart jokes and absurdly sophomoric wordplay, but then the wordplay can take on a machine gun, rapid fire, you know, avalanche of puns and innuendo, and just too clever for its own good, but still worth, you still are invested in it. It's probably the one comedy series I think you need to keep the captioning on to make sure not only that you don't miss anything, the fact is they use a lot of slang terms that aren't just specific to Canada, but to the specific region of Canada. So you may not even know what the hell they're talking about half the time. You may have to actually do research, Google things, look up stuff online. There are videos on YouTube that are actually about the different terms and terminology they use on the show. Some things you kind of pick up on your own. You know, you pick up at some point, like, a dart is a word for a cigarette, for example, or something like that. But other things, you know, it took me forever to know what Ferda meant. And when these two characters use to say Ferda all the time, and you realize it means for the boys, and it's just shortened and then becomes Ferda. I wouldn't have known that. Anyway, it's really a interesting, funny, bizarre little show. So, and fans of the show will appreciate me saying something right now, like, you know, pitter patter, let's get at her and check it out on Hulu. It's a very good show. There's a bunch of seasons, but they're fairly short. You can kind of power your way through it. It's, you know, Canadians haven't been this funny to me since SCTV. So, you know, I was very impressed by it.
I've not seen it, but a lot of people whose opinions I respect have watched it and have all given good reviews of it, that it's both funny but sort of silly, whimsical, I guess.
Yes, it's, yeah. it almost defies description, but it's not really all that out there. It's just, you know, we're just focusing on these, you know, whether they're hicks or degenerates or drug users or hockey players who all live in this small community and everybody knows everybody. You know, the opening of every episode says, you know, there are 5,000 people in the town of Letterkenny. These are their problems. And then the show begins. So it's worth checking
out. Does it go dun dun like Law and Order?
No, but it ought to. Now, my number 8 show is one that our silent co-host for the evening will appreciate that made my list. Number 8 show is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It should be higher on the list. Fuck you. Yeah. Click.
Okay, goodbye. So this was, good Lord, this was the 14th season. And I got to tell you, after watching the 14th season, the show genuinely might be as strong as it's ever been. I don't know if it's benefiting from these short seasons, but this past season had several really strong episodes. They had an entire film noir parody called, which was titled The Janitor Always Mops Twice, and ranged from that to their final episode, quite frankly, was a bottle episode that the more intellectually inclined would realize the Sunny Gang is doing their version of Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot. It's amazing how a show which deals with such stupid characters can be so smart, and they've proven that time and time again over the seasons. This was a really strong season. I think I read a little excerpt of an article recently. One of the people behind the show that I'm bad at pronouncing his name, but the guy who plays Mac, Rob, is it? How do you pronounce his name, Dan? McKinney? Whatever, the guy who plays Mac, he pretty much thinks the show can go on forever. They don't anticipate them stopping the show anytime soon. So there very well may be 20 or 30, you know, seasons of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We'll see how long it goes on for.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen. I forgot that it came back last year. I just haven't been paying attention, so I added it to my list. I'll have to get on that. I really like season 13. You know, I thought it had a lot of good episodes, so I'm looking forward to. If you think season 14 is as strong as ever, I guess I'm in for a treat.
I think it's better. I genuinely think it's better. It's better than the 13th season. I definitely really liked every episode, and there were a few that were really standouts. I mentioned two of the more, you know, heady ones, but there's a couple other ones that were just like, wow.
Yeah, 13 had a few clunkers. Like there were nothing special. So maybe 14's a little bit tighter.
I felt it was, but you may watch it. You may feel differently. I don't know. I also enjoyed. I mean, again, I there were things I loved in the 13th season, but and was it the 13th season where Mac has the life doll of Dennis?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a hard joke to get to be funnier than. So that was a great one. Anyway, there's my first cough. And
I'll just say, do you want to let Brian do the next wing? How many shows do you have, Brian?
He's got
six.
I'm going to do one more, and then I'm going to cede the stage for Brian. My number 7 show, because that way I'll figure it's right midway in my list. Number 7 show is actually going to be Veep. This was the final season of Veep. Perhaps it wasn't quite as strong as some previous seasons, but I felt the show really ended well. So points for that, which helps land it as high as number 7 on my list. I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is still brilliant. I do find it fascinating that the character of Jonah definitely got dumber every subsequent season. you know, kind of suffering the fate that characters like Homer Simpson or even Sam Malone got, where they seem a heck of a lot smarter in the earlier episodes or seasons of that of their shows, and they seem to get dumber as the show went along. Jonah definitely got much stupider as the show went along, but still, but perhaps funnier as well. But the Jonah we saw by the end of Veep seemed to be have half the IQ of the Jonah we saw at the beginning of Veep. But beyond that, the show is still very good. It was great to see, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus doing her thing, you know, after she's recovered from the whole cancer situation. So, you know, gets points for that as well. Brian, you watch Veep also, right?
So yes, I did. I thought it was very it kept its sharpness. I agree with you. It wasn't as funny, and I wonder if there wasn't sort of a melancholy knowing it was coming to an end. Yeah. You know, but I thought the cast, I mean, was great. I enjoyed it, and it's not on my list, but I neglected to put it on there only because I forgot it, and it's so short. I mean, to watch it, it goes by so fast that, right. that it sort of slipped my mind. But yeah, I thought it was I thought the season was pretty good, but I thought the ending was really good.
Oh yeah, they stuck. That there were, it's one of the shows that will be on this list or the list in the following the subsequent podcast that I would say stuck the landing. Some things didn't, but that was one of the shows that did. You mentioned your list, so I think I'm going to take, we're going to give the listeners a break, an intermission from Scott. And let's hear what your picks were, because you actually came up, as you just mentioned, with your own top six, half of mine. So what were your choices?
For my six, the shows that made me laugh the most, and I think I'm a lot like Dan in that I probably watch, well, I'm not like Dan because I don't watch old TV over and over again. But I do watch a lot of dramas, and I don't gravitate necessarily to a comedy unless it grabs me. But the things I thought were really amazing, I put Barry on my list. I mentioned that, so I'll skip on past that. But I thought Fleabag was phenomenal. Even for a short arc, the combination of, you know, funny, awkward humor with just somehow winning personalities of people that probably are terrible people in some sense. But I thought it was great. I know you're probably going to talk about that later, but that was on my list. I love, and I was late to the party, but I love What We Do in Shadows. Very rarely is an adaptation of something that already exists that's pretty darn good great, and I thought it was had some moments that genuinely made me laugh out loud. And it sort of used the confessional, you know, office documentary type style, which at first I was curious how it would work. It worked really well for it. I enjoyed that. Great performances, really good special effects for sort of that sort of show. Enjoyed it. A show that I don't know if you've watched, Scott, but that was hilarious and crazy and nuts and totally threw me for a loop was Doom Patrol. Had some outrageously crazy laugh out loud moments in it. And it also had a heart that was at the core of it, but was a superhero show that took itself serious and absurd at times, and the absurdity was really quite charming, and I really enjoyed that about it.
Yeah, I'm dying to see it, but I still haven't brought myself to do the DC All Access thing yet. So I'm probably the one person in this country who would rather get DC All Access and the CBS one before the whole Disney crap. Yes, I know The Mandalorian's supposed to be good. I don't give a fuck. But there's more things on those two channels I want to watch more, but I still haven't pulled the trigger on it.
Of all the DC Access shows, I thought Doom Patrol really stood out and had a really good cast, but really some crazy stuff, right? Just crazy, which is sort of Doom Patrol's thing, as being over the top.
Yes.
And it was over the top in a great way. So I'll be curious what you think of it when you see it, but I really enjoyed it. My next one is The Good Place. I really enjoy The Good Place. Who would have thought an existential comedy about sort of philosophy in the afterlife would be so intelligently done? Awesome Ted Danson in this show. Just a guy still out there killing it. And, you know, the interaction with him and Kristen Bell, their characters, the supporting cast and all the roles they play. Really enjoy that show, and I'm sad that, you know, that it's ending, but really a smart, focused comedy written intelligently, which is rare, especially rare sometimes on network television. Really enjoyed that. And then my last one, which I'm sure people will quibble with, but is Succession. And if you watch Succession, it has drama, but it has just some of the darkest humor in it, that is that literally the kind of stuff you laugh at and feel guilty for laughing at. But wonderful cast, tight, well written, and another show, you know, about mostly morally bankrupt people that I just found extremely entertaining. And it could go for the heart, it could go for the jugular, but it sometimes went for the laughs. And there was some, you know, I won't say anything if nobody's seen it, but there are a couple of episodes that just, you know, were crazy and funny in a way that few things are these days. And so that's my list. Those are the six things that really made me laugh and stood out to me.
Oh, but I can't really quibble with the list. I have not, even though I tried to cram as many notable shows and series from 2019, especially over the last couple of months where I went kind of on a binge-a-thon trying to catch up on everything that I had missed. Unfortunately, Succession is one of the standout shows I have not gotten to as of yet. So, and I know that it's, from what I understand, it's considered a drama. That was the categories it's been nominated in and won awards in, blah, blah, blah. But I get what you're saying from the way you've described it, how, you know, one can view it as a comedy as well. It won't be appearing on either of my lists since I haven't watched it, but maybe next year. But I am interested in it. I'm a big Brian Cox fan, so that alone makes me want to check it out. So I do hope to get to see it one of these days.
Well, he and the supporting cast, a couple of them in particular, really get to choose some scenery in it. And so you'll like it. And knowing what you like and knowing you're a huge Brian Cox fan, you'll enjoy it.
Excellent. I look forward to it. Add it to my list of shows. I don't have to add it. It's on the list. Okay. All right. So let me get back to where I was since you had just finished with your six. By the way, that was just your six. Were you in your own mind kind of ranking them, or did you not want to put them in any sort of order? Just say these were the six, but no specific order. Because that's fine, and people do that all the time.
I didn't really think in terms of ranking, just because I watched them at different times.
Right.
You know.
Gotcha.
So I didn't really think in terms of I didn't go do a rewatch or anything that would have then maybe prompted me to rank them, but so I would just say six.
Okay, that's what I assumed. That's cool. Okay, so however, I tend to rank them is just it's just the way I think, and also that also affords me the opportunity to either lavish compliments where I want, but also critique at the same time. Because, you know, that's what I do. So, with that said, number six, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is my number six choice. Speaking of sticking the landing with a finale, I'd say the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend finale was just about perfect. And I'm going to say in many ways, it's probably the strength of that final episode that helped raise this show all the way to number 6 on my list. But at the same time, the reason why it didn't rank any higher, I just couldn't get past the recasting of the Greg character. I didn't care that they kept doing their little meta fourth wall waking at the fact that it was a different actor playing him. It just hurt the show for me, and it kept it out of the top 5 for me. I know why they had to do it, because the original actor, Santino, what's-his-face, can't remember his last name off the top of my head, he was unavailable, he was doing Tootsie on Broadway. But hey, you know what? Then the character hadn't been on the show for the last couple of seasons. Then don't write a season-long storyline that involves bringing that character back if you knew he wasn't going to be available. You could have done it without that character. The guy who replaced him, likable enough, but he just never had that kind of really funny, sarcastic chemistry that the original actor had with Rachel Bloom, who I still and will always have a crush on. But beyond that, I thought the show... Talk about a comedy that dealt with a lot of dark elements. This is a show that got darker as the show went along. And it's one of those things, if you think about it, the very premise of the show is kind of dark to begin with. Which actually, from what I understand, put off some people when they tried watching the first season. And you try to tell people, no, you got to keep watching it. It's like, oh, but I don't, but it's so, I was like, yeah, oh, by the way, it's going to get a lot darker. Oh, she's going to try to kill herself at some point, stuff like that. So, but... While it doesn't sound very funny the way I've described it, it is fucking funny. The songs, you know.
Yeah.
We even did a couple podcasts about the show. Me and one of those old tiny podcasters used to be with Jason back when we used to do shows about comic books and stuff. Anyway, before we jettisoned it, never got back to it. We're horrible people.
It was fun. It was just too hard with everybody's schedule trying to coordinate it, you know. So, and then, I mean, trying to coordinate everybody's schedule and then, like, the fucking power failures that kept happening to the people living in the freaking, like, ghetto-ass South Park. No offense, Brian.
Yeah.
It's like, that was harder than watching, like, 4 episodes of TV a week, and that's just saying something. So.
Yeah. Oh, I don't exactly miss working for several hours every week on putting the goddamn podcasting together. Which probably never even sounded that way on the actual podcast. But trust me, I don't miss having to do that.
Yeah.
Anywho, back to the list. Back to the countdown. Dun-dun-dun.
No.
Wait, Brian, do you watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? I can't remember. I thought you did.
I did. I did not watch this last season.
Oh.
Shame. But I enjoyed it and always really appreciated the music, and I agree with you. I mean,
you got
Rachel Bloom is a national treasure.
You've got even if you don't end up watching the final season, and you should, it's on Netflix, I'm sure. You got to see the finale. You got to see how they ended it. The final episode, and there's at least one or two specific song numbers. It was worth the trip. It's really good.
I need to watch that sometime too, I think, because I mean, I've seen some of the videos when I'm putting stuff together for when you and Jason were podcasting about it, and you know, a little bit whatever, but I can just tell it's like the kind of show that I would understand and get. Like, I would get the comedy and I would get the like dramatic stuff too, because I don't know.
Oh yeah, brain works. I think it would appeal to you. I could see it.
Yeah.
You would like it, and I can tell you that it definitely is. I'm not a huge musical person, like musicals. I love to play music. I love to listen to music, but music, like a long form musical, it isn't my cup of tea. But that show, the music in it was so spot on that it was a great experience. I loved it. I think you'd like it, Dan.
Well, just, you know, they're not just trying to make like catchy songs so that you're going to remember like 50 years from now. Like, the songs were actually like smart and thoughtful and like dealt with like actual shit. So I think that's, you know, that's maybe, I'm not sure how much of a challenge it is to do that, but I guess maybe it is a challenge to make a funny, catchy, and thoughtful song.
If you could do a song about period sex, you can do a song about anything. And with that, so we're cracking my top 5 now. number five. We're gonna hear some shows that we just heard on Brian's list for the rest of, for a lot of this. So at least the next few. Because my number five show is The Good Place. Brian, I think you covered it pretty well. The way I would describe it, it was just, it's a show. It's inventive. It's goofy. It's exceedingly bingeable. Because I did have to catch up with the show, so I watched a lot of episodes in a short period of time, and it's that kind of show where, you know, it's addictive. You want to watch one right after the other. You know, each one is like a little confection rolling off like a Willy Wonka assembly line or something. You hit it on the head. I pretty much like Ted Danson no matter what he does, whether it be Cheers or, you know, that show he did. What was that really good show that he did with Jason Schwartzman that was on HBO?
The detective show.
What was it called? I'm drawing a blank of what it was called. It'll come to me before the podcast is over. It had a simple title. Good show, though. Anything, whatever. His appearances on Curb Your Enthusiasm, where he's basically making fun of himself to a certain extent. He's always good. And I've always been a Kristen Bell fan, you know, since the Veronica Mars days or whatever. It's very much like I get like a sugar high off that show. And I find it really impressive that they've been able to stretch the premise that they came up with over, I guess, 51, I don't know, episodes. And it's never felt redundant or stale. And I think this week is going to be its final episode, if I'm not mistaken. So, I can't tell you why when it first aired, I watched the first two episodes and I was like, meh. Maybe I was in a bad mood that day. I don't know why. But because when I went back and rewatched it, I was like, what's wrong with me? This is really good. And then I kept watching it and kept watching it. So great show. Number five. Shades of Brian's list yet again, because my number four show is What We Do in the Shadows. Now, I know this is my comedy list, and if this list was purely based on laughs, this and probably the very next series on my list would probably get bumped from 4 and 3 to 2 and 1. But that's not how I did my list overall. I have yet to watch the original movie the series is based on. I watched a trailer for it. I watched scenes from it. I never got around to it, even though it's from, you know, Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi, whatever, however you pronounce his name. I'm glad there's plenty of names on this podcast I can still mispronounce. Some things never change.
I missed that, Scott.
And boy, is that guy becoming a bigger and bigger deal with every successive year. He went from being, oh, that's the guy who directed Thor Ragnarok, so now he's like, he's doing everything. But this mockumentary following the vampires who have been languishing in Staten Island. And that's Staten Island, New York, for you non-New York people out there. I just felt it's just so brilliant. This was one of my most recommended series of the year. This is one of those shows I kept telling people, you got to check out the show. You've got to check out this show. I mean, the episode, I mean, there's two standouts for me, Brian. My favorite character on it tends to be the energy vampire character.
Yes, that's fantastic.
Dan would love the show, and the guy playing the energy vampire, Dan would recognize from his appearances on Better Call Saul. He's the nerdy wannabe drug dealer, whatever. Drug smuggler out of the hospital, whatever the fuck he was doing. The guy with the baseball card collection.
Price?
Yeah, Price, exactly. He's an energy vampire, so whenever he starts he starts having these boring conversations with people, it just drains their energy from them, and he...
it's so good. Like, he's the only one that looks normal. He looks like a normal person, but then he starts talking and everybody just gets bored and like starts to like droop. It's so good.
It's so amazing. So there's a specific episode where it's kind of like almost the only episode where his storyline becomes the main plot as opposed to a subplot, and it's kind of a dual relationship, I don't know what you want to call it, between him and someone else he encounters who turns out to be an emotional vampire.
Yes.
And it's this actress from Saturday Night Live who, honestly, I never liked her on Saturday Night Live, but I really liked her in this episode. So that episode and the one where they have this whole high council or whatever of vampires, and it's basically every actor who, well, not every actor, but they're all actors we've seen play vampires in different movies and TV shows over the last, you know, 20 or 30 years. So you got Paul Reubens in there because he was a vampire in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie before there was a TV show. You got Wesley Snipes on a TV. You got Tilda Swinton. I couldn't believe the people that got together to show up in this episode. That was brilliant. It's such a great show. Such a good show. Love that show so much.
If you told me, like, what's a show that someone would laugh at that had sort of my sensibility that would get the most laughs, this might get my vote, because I just, this show absolutely cracked me up and had such good stuff. Like, just you even mentioning the emotional or the energy vampire.
It's
just so good. Like, I think Dan would love this show.
Oh yeah. I would be shocked if he didn't. The only problem I have with the show is, thanks to that show, especially my interaction with one friend of mine, I can't help talking like a certain vampire on the show. I end up talking that way all the time. And I'm aware of it. I can't stop it. Okay.
What network is it on?
FX.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have any of the streaming services, I think it's on one of them. Might be Amazon. Might be Amazon Prime. Can't remember. It's on one of those. But definitely. Oh, it's so good. Okay, so we're now up to my top three. All right. Interesting top three. My number three show is a little show on Netflix called Big Mouth. God, I love this show. I love this show. It's an animated series. There's been many great animated series over the years. This one deserves to be added to that list. Nick Kroll, John Mulaney are just freaking priceless. I've really become a huge fan of John Mulaney over the last couple of years, specifically. I've always liked Nick Kroll. But then you've got Jenny Slate and Jesse Klein, Jordan Peele, I would never have known it was his voice except I see his name in the credits. Jason Mantzoukas and Maya Rudolph is fantastic on it. This past season, everything from the discoveries of the female orgasm to menopause, and as well as an unexpected backstory for the ghost of Duke Ellington. And again, they end the season with a surprisingly really sad ending, which, oh, by the way, it's not the only show on this list to end the season in a not funny way at all. I don't know. Big Mouth, for me, had to make my top three. And honestly, if we had done this podcast well before the year had ended, say we decided, oh, December 1st, let's do Best of 2019, Big Mouth probably would have been my number one show. However, in December, I binged a couple other shows, and guess what? I guess there's a thing to recency bias, I don't know, because those two shows are my top two shows of the year. Brian, do you watch Big Mouth?
I have not, but I heard really good things about
it. Oh, my God. Brian, watch Big Mouth. I there are very few shows I would guarantee. This one I guarantee. I guarantee it. Guarantee.
I'll make you a deal. I will watch Big Mouth. Oh, you'll watch Atlanta. Right.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh,
God. I tried.
Hey, Scott. I'll watch Big Mouth, and then you don't have to watch Atlanta.
Okay.
Deal?
I want to watch Poughkeepsie first, then I'll watch Atlanta. Anyway. Okay. So, doing really well time-wise. Number two on my list. this one we did here on Brian's List. My number two show is Fleabag. This Phoebe Waller-Bridge, she might very well be a genius because she's the writer creator of Killing Eve, which may or may not make my drama list when we get around to recording that podcast. She's the writer creator and star of this. It's a short but sweet but heartbreakingly sour series. You know, it's just a 6-episode season, so it's by far the shortest sampling of any show on the list, but it's so good, it has to place this high. Brian's already spoken about it, and I appreciate his eloquence about it. The only thing I want to take one step further about this specific second season, because this is a show where the main character, you know, she's generally very likable, even though every once in a while she'll do something you'd be like, ooh, I don't know how much I like the fact she did that. And the fact is she doesn't actually have, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, there are a number of characters on this show who don't or are never actually given names.
Yes.
Which, and it didn't really occur to me that was happening until late. I don't know if it's the last episode or not. Is the wedding the last episode? Is the wedding the last episode?
Oh, it's been a while. I don't remember. Okay. Maybe.
It's not that important either. It's either the last episode or next to last episode. It's one of the two. I think it's the last episode. When the Olivia Colman's character is introducing her soon-to-be husband to someone, and all of a sudden she acts like she doesn't remember his name. Yeah. And all of a sudden it just occurred to me, in that moment, I'm like, oh, I don't know what his name is. And then I realized, oh, I don't know what her name is. Oh, I don't know what her... It's like her sister... Like, it's like random people have names. Like Phoebe Waller-Bridge's, her sister's name is Claire. And that's important because she ends up falling for some other guy or being interested in another guy, and his name is Claire also. But Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character is listed as Fleabag. Olivia Colman's character is listed as Godmother. Dad is dead. And the thing I wanted to mention most of all is the actor... What's his name? Andrew Scott. Okay,
I think so.
The guy who most people might recognize from playing Moriarty on the Sherlock series. He plays Hot Priest. I love the conceit that they did on the show because this is a show where the main character literally speaks to the camera, breaks the fourth wall all the time, looks like she's like Jim on The Office towards the camera all the time. He's aware of it. He keeps commenting on, what did you say? Why are you talking? Who are you talking to? Whatever. And you can see how it freaks her out. I love that. I love that they were so aware. The self-awareness of the show is really brilliant in those moments. I really like that a lot.
Yeah, that was a big deal when that happened too, because you're like, what just happened?
Oh, yeah.
It breaks the conceit in the reverse way, which was really brilliant.
Yeah, it really. I'm glad I finally got around to watching it. It's only 6. I mean, I watched both seasons back to back. It's 12 episodes. There's no excuse. That's a weekend. Come on. All right, great show, great show. But now I'm imagining there's a lot of people out there. They're going, wait a minute, he already did Fleabag, and they're going through all the shows that they can think of. What's number one? It's not like the drama list where you kind of pretty much know from year to year what's likely going to be number one or number two, whatever. I like the fact of doing this list because I know that most people are not going to know what my number one show is. So let me say what it is. My number one show for 2019, in the comedy vein I'm talking here, number one comedy, was a show that's been around for a while on Netflix. And I was ignoring recommendations right and left about the show for the last couple of years. And finally, someone fairly close to me kept bugging me about it, saying, it's so your kind of show. There's so much about the show, which is so tailored to someone like you. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll give it a shot. God damn it, everybody was right. The show I'm talking about is called BoJack Horseman.
I thought that might be it.
Wow. Now, I am maybe cheating just a little bit with this one because I watched all six seasons, even though there's still the remaining half of season six, which is going to premiere at the end of this week, actually. I watched six seasons of the show over the course of a couple weeks, which means that's roughly like, what, 60-something episodes I watched, all fairly recently. This show, it's funny, it's tragic, it's smart, it's extremely, clearly, addictive, and so many other superlatives. It's got a cast, I mean, some of the shows we've mentioned have really strong casts. Big Mouth has a lot of great names in their voice cast. Other shows have great names just overall. This one, you got your regulars, you got your Will Arnett, Allison Brie, Amy Sedaris, Paul K. Tompkins, and Aaron Paul. Yes, Aaron Paul. But they're recurring characters. This show can almost, I don't want to say literally, but they could literally get anybody on this show. The recurring characters are played by people like J.K. Simmons and Rami Malek, and like, I can't think of an actor or actress or performer they probably couldn't get on this show. I guess because it's got that greater reputation, you know, in the entertainment biz. I don't know. It's my regret that it took me so many years to finally getting around to giving this show a shot. Wow. It is powerful. It is the epitome of a show that it might not necessarily always be funny. It can get really dark. It can get really sad. And that's where it's been going. And the final episode, or at least the final midpoint episode, has me kind of going, oh no, oh no, it's all going to fall apart now. But I can't give a show a higher recommendation than this show, except most people who would want to watch it probably already. I'm way late to the party on this one. I'm super late to the party on this one. I don't know. I mean, I know I didn't give it a basic description of what the show is about. I probably should have done that. Oh, gosh. It's another anime. So two of my top three are both anime. Look at that. It is an animated series. It centers around the character BoJack Horseman, who is a former sitcom star, and he's also a horse. That's one of the conceits of the show, that humans and animals are characters together, and it doesn't really seem to matter. So that's kind of interesting in and of itself. But he's a cynical, jaded, selfish scumbag quite often. But there is a quote-unquote heart of gold to be found somewhere occasionally in him. Not very often, but sometimes. But they have, over the course of the entire series, and I know for Best of 2019, I'm only supposed to be talking about the final season, but I'm just informing people who haven't seen the show. I mean, there are several shows on this list, on both our lists, that I would say are very inventive. None as much as BoJack Horseman. They have episodes where I am amazed by what they pulled off. It could be something as experimental as the entire episode taking place in an underwater city. So you realize at a certain point, hey, there's no dialogue in this episode. Until like the last 30 seconds, that is. But, you know, you get 20-something minutes of no dialogue. You have another episode which deals with, you know, you realize you're dealing with a specific character's dementia and how they're, you know, slowly slipping away. You deal with things dealing with time and space and humor, and it's how horrible the Hollywood system is and how horrible families can be. And it's such a good show. And I don't know if I'm really selling it very well, but it's my favorite comedy of 2019. Let's put it that way.
I'm a season behind maybe on it, but I always liked it. And I think there's sort of a trend that we talked about, that it seems like writers have really stepped in to deal with like mental illness and depression and suicide and in some very compelling ways. And BoJack Horseman certainly deals with, at times, some very heavy stuff, but in a great way.
And absolutely. And on more than one occasion on this series, you'll have a moment where you're like going, no, don't, oh God, please don't, no, oh God, no, it's that kind of a show. Such a good show. Yep. And it's all, and all the chickens are coming home to roost now. So it's going to, I'm looking forward and I'm dreading those final six or seven episodes or eight, however many it's going to be, that'll drop at the end of the week. But you know what the hell I'll be watching, come late Friday night or Saturday morning. I need to watch them immediately. Sorry, Sabrina, I haven't gotten to you yet, but I got to watch that. Okay. So there you have it. There is the countdown, the list of the top comedies of 2019, according to us. So I see by the clock. Okay, we clocked in just around what I thought that was going to be. So I am now. I don't know if this will be a treat or just an annoyance to listeners, or there'll be. I know there's a couple listeners who want this. What? Got maybe. Hey, look, our first name dropping. I thought I was going to mention Michael Kamid. No, instead I mentioned God. Kamid, I'll mention on the next one. Oh, just mention him now. Oh, whatever. I dug up my notes from the podcast that wasn't. We never did the Best of 2018 podcast. I'll be honest, I don't remember why. I think it was just, and my cat just is going to start meowing now. Great. Dude, shh. Great. Awesome. He has this habit of, before he drinks water, he has to meow at the water cup for a while. I don't really get that. I don't remember why we didn't get around to doing the podcast. I think we just had busy schedules or things going on in our lives or whatever the heck it was. Dan, I don't remember anymore. It's been so long.
I remember putting together a list, but you know, with like five shows or something, because I was already in my decline by then. But I don't know. I think we tried doing it once and then something came up and we just kept getting busy.
In your decline. Dude. Oh, God damn it. Sorry. I know. I know. But he drives me crazy. That's why I'm going to murder him. So anyway, I found my notes. So I thought it might be amusing to look at what I had here. And in fact, I had I had some categories that I hadn't filled in yet. So no, like characters or scene shot, whatever the heck that was. Then I had top 10 series I haven't gotten around to watching yet, but I've heard nothing but good things. So I'm looking over the list of, it's 10, and so it's this is like from a year ago, right? And I've actually watched I've watched 3 of the 10. I don't know if that's good or bad. I won't read what I wrote after them. I'll just because I wrote something silly after each one. So number 10 was The End of the Fucking World. Haven't seen it yet, but I like the title. Number 9 was Glow. We know I've watched that. Number 8 was Escape at Dannemora. I don't even remember why I have that on my list. Number 7 was Narcos Mexico. I can't believe I still haven't gotten back to Narcos. Number 6 was Homecoming. I think that's the Julia Roberts thing. I have a friend who works on the show. They're the people from Mr. Robot do it. I don't know why I haven't gotten around to that. Bodyguard is number 5. I don't know why I haven't watched that yet. Marvelous Mrs. Mazel Tov. I've watched that, so we can knock that one off. The Good Fight's number 3. I still don't have CBS All Access, so obviously I haven't watched that yet. Killing Eve was my number 2 show. I've seen all of that. And number 1 was Atlanta. Anyway. Then I had the biggest disappointments of 2018. I just kind of want to mention this because it's kind of fun to beat up on shows. I called this, I came up with the How I Met Dexter Award for how to end a series in a truly limp dick, why'd I even bother fashion. House of Cards. You know, plenty of series have ended without complete resolution, and fans bitch and moan about it for years, be it The Sopranos doing so deliberately or a series like Deadwood just not getting another season, though they are getting back together. Yay. Oh, look at the notes. That's before the Deadwood movie. But when Kevin Spacey had to get the boot after those allegations surfaced, maybe they should have ended the series altogether. Yes, I know that would adversely impact hundreds of employees, and that sucks. But that's also the nature of the TV business. Shows get canceled, and removing Frank Underwood from this series was actually like watching a season of Sopranos without Tony Soprano. Worse, in fact, because at least The Sopranos was filled with colorful characters that might hold our interest. House of Cards, sorry, Claire, you're just not that compelling, although more so than the rest of the boards in that final season. So, yeah, I really hated the final season of House of Cards. Then I wrote the Sucks to Be a Sophomore Series Award. Wow. Season 2 of Legion. So much to gush about with Legion, from the beautiful composition of shots to the balls, the inventiveness and utter weirdness of it all. And blah, blah. I don't even need to read all this. It's basically what we said about it when we were podcasting. And then right after that, while on the topic of the infamous TV sophomoritis, the same could be said for the second season of Jessica Jones. A huge drop-off from a terrific season 1. I really hated the whole mother-daughter storyline. The character of her mother, and Trish Walker might be my least favorite character on any TV series ever. If I need to add more to this segment... Oh, wow. Westworld, if you're really honest, it veers from pretentious and boring to simplistic and pointless. Epitome of something people knee-jerk think is far deeper and more profound than it actually is. Wow, I didn't realize I wrote something that mean about Westworld. I must have been in a mood.
I guess you were paying attention to the show.
I couldn't get past the first episode of Lost in Space. Maybe I'll try it again someday, but I don't have the motivation. And Castle Rock, I didn't hate it, but considering its pedigree, I should have loved this rather than thought it was just okay. Then I had a just missed list, a.k.a. honorable mentions. Oh, really? I went that route again? Who cares? Happen Letter Season 3, Goliath Season 2, Sneaky Pete Season 2, Unfortunate Season. You know, who the fuck cares about honorable mentions, because it's from over a year ago. My top 10 series of 2018, however. Wow, look what number 10 turned out to be. Holy shit. Number 10 was actually Daredevil Season 3. I think that was me throwing a bone to certain people. But I really did.
Was that fan service?
That was fans. Wow. fucker. Look at you. Look at your little special gold star for that Toyota funny jokes. See, I'm doing the voice now. Number nine was the Season 3 of Travelers. Number 8 was The Man in the High Castle Season 3. Number 7 was Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. That was the first season. Number 6 was Season 2 of Ozark. Dude, seriously? Wow, he's really pissing me off. Number 5, and I just realized I'm yelling at my... I'm bothering my neighbors by yelling at him right now. Where was I? 6 was Ozark Season 2. Number 5 was Haunting of Hill House. And I wrote Season 1. Are they giving us a second season of that show? I haven't even...
They are. I think it's coming fairly soon.
The hell? Number 4, the first season of Barry. See, back when it was good. No, I'm just kidding. It's still good. I'm just fucking with you now. Number 3 was Counterpart, season 1 and part of season 2. Wow, Counterpart. Oh, good one. Number 2 was season 4 of Better Call Saul. And my number 1 show was the final season of The Americans. So that would have been what I did for 2018. I'm looking at my honorable mention list. Wow, I had season 6 of Elementary. I called it the biggest surprise of the year. Holy shit. Anyway. So, look at that. Oh, I did that so fast. That like in like 7-8 minutes. Amazing. All right. Huh. Excellent. So, anything you guys want to say?
Interesting list, but I don't know if you want to talk about if you guys have seen it, but since Dan's here, I'm really curious if you guys watched the new David Lynch short on Netflix.
I haven't yet.
Oh, Dan.
I've watched it. I was gonna wait to talk about it in the next podcast,
but I'll watch it before.
Dan, it's 17 minutes, so watch it so you can talk about it in the next podcast.
I will.
You know, you. You have to watch it.
Yes, you do.
I kid you not. When I watched it, and and I was, you know, and whatever. One of my initial thoughts was, God, has Dan seen this yet? Dan needs to see this. So that's all. That's all I have to say. If you don't, do you know anything about it yet, Dan?
I know like the general premise and stuff, but
okay,
that's right. About it.
That's all you need to know. It's like David Lynch interviews a monkey. There you go. That's pretty much. That's all I knew about going into it. Then I did my research about it after I watched it. It's like, okay, even if we only spend 5 minutes on it, we got to talk about that on the podcast. If we can spend an hour on episode 8 of that Showtime season of Twin Peaks, we got to spend at least 5 minutes on David Lynch and the monkey. So, yeah. All right.
Your podcast fans while we're on here, so we can agree to stuff, and then we have to do it because God is listening and will kill us if we don't make record these podcasts.
Wait, say it again.
Do you want to talk about our future podcasting plans?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. Okay, so obviously we are going to be doing a follow-up to this one covering dramas. The three of us just have to determine what night we all are all free to do it. Beyond that, oh, and in that podcast, by the way, for the one or two people out there who care, I do plan, after we get through the entire countdown of all the dramas and stuff, I do plan to spend at least a few minutes talking about all the crisis crossover stuff that happened with the CW shows, which is still having repercussions on the shows, which I'm enjoying the fact that that's happened. And be more so, because by the time we record, we'll probably, Arrow will have had its final episode, Flash will have come back, and we'll get to see how crisis has affected that post-crisis, so I'm kind of intrigued by that. Better Call Saul comes back in late February. I think it's like February 23rd, I think it comes back. Yep. Dan, I think you had indicated that you were going to be away and you wouldn't...
Of course,
because that's, you know, you tend to be away.
I'm gone for the first time. I'll be in Arizona.
Right, so I think the situation is you're going to be unable to record at least the first two?
Just because they're on back-to-back nights. Right. I mean, I can record if we wait till the following weekend.
Yeah, we're not going to do it. So I'm not pushing that many things in once. I'll be exhausted. We'll have someone, perhaps Brian, or it'll be one of our two subs. We'll fill in for you. It'll just have to be a no frills, you know, me singing into the fucking microphone or whatever the hell it is I do for those things. So Better Call Saul comes back. So obviously we'll be recording about that. Fargo.
Saul ends April 20th. Fargo comes back April 19th.
Yes, I love the timing of that. So
yeah,
I believe we will be recording about Fargo. I think we'll be sticking to that. I love the trailer for it. I'm very intrigued by what they're going to do. I'm not concerned, and I think the scheduling of that should work. Even though we, one or both of us may, or all of us may be away for a specific weekend in early May, but I don't think it should impact that at all. And if it does, we'll figure it out. That's months down the road. Yeah. I think there's something else coming that we're going to want to do a podcast about. I'm forgetting what it is right now, but I think there's something.
It's Ozark season 3. It comes back March 27th. We kind of like talking about Ozark on this show, so I imagine we'll do a one-off for it.
We could do it. Oh, I'd totally be down to do a one-off on Ozark. Absolutely.
Brian can come on and say that it isn't very good, even though he described the Raleigh meetup plus sex episode of Game of Thrones as like maybe one of the 10 best episodes of TV all time 5 years from now. So.
No, one of the top. God.
We haven't seen you for a very long time. A little bit. It's like Raleigh. I'm sorry. I have a good time in Raleigh too, but that doesn't mean that like Tyrion like drinking one beer for like an hour straight is super compelling. Sorry.
You know what? I'm just going to sit here and take it, Dan. Just throw it all at me.
And that's why we call you one of our two subs.
Outstanding.
Oh, wow.
Outstanding.
It's an excellent innuendo.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Innuendo, at least. So.
Oh, let me say one thing before we go, because the next one will probably be really fast. Anyone watching, if you like the sort of suspenseful crime drama, True Detective vein TV, check out The Outsider on HBO. Four episodes in, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Have you read the book?
I have not. And I wish I would have, but now I don't want to because I want to see what happens and possibly not spoil myself.
That's good. As Stephen King books go, it has a better ending than the average do. I mean, just like the ending is more like coherent and like not kind of like mediocre as like a lot of Stephen King books, unfortunately, and don't end super strong. This one's a little bit better than average, I would say. So hopefully that's a bit of a, you know, hopefully that'll carry through into the show, which I haven't seen yet and I probably should.
So well, you should. It's got Jason Bateman.
Ooh. So Jerry Ozark.
So I have to keep rewriting what the opening conversation for the next podcast is going to be. Since
I
was
I thought.
I don't fucking care. It's fine. Yes, I think Outsider is. Yeah, I just watched the new episode just a few hours ago. So great show. Really enjoying it tremendously. Haven't read the book. Because, you know, don't read. So,
spoken like a true screenwriter.
There you go. Shut up. All right. With that said, I'm wrapping this up because I didn't want this to go to an hour and a half, so I want to stop it now. So, wow, I don't remember how to do this. All right. If you enjoyed this podcast, you'll probably enjoy hanging out on our Facebook page as well. Look us up on Facebook. It's the Series TV Drama Podcast. Like the page, join the page, whatever it is that people do, and join the conversation about shows like the ones that we just mentioned and ones that we'll be mentioning on our future podcast. What else? You can find us on iTunes. Again, type in Series TV Drama Podcast, subscribe to the feed, and you can rate and review us there. This podcast wasn't bad. You can rate us based on this one. We weren't too bad for the most part. Hell, you can just type Series TV Drama Podcast in Google and find us in 1,800 other fucking places, you know. You can be one of the few people who try to listen to us on YouTube for some reason. Don't know why you do that. Unless you're in England, because you'll never hear this because we keep using music and they'll let it be played in the UK. So I like that we're banned in the UK. Wasn't that an album banned in the UK? Anyway. And finally, you can also... God, I gotta start using our damn Twitter thing again. You can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is... Wow, what is it again? At STVD Podcast. STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. So that is it for tonight. Yeah. Shucks, I want it to be an hour 15. We rambled a bit too much there. Anyway. Still, excellent podcast. Glad to be back after 3 months. Hope people appreciate it. Hope more than 12 people listen. And looking forward to recording the best of drama for 2019. Perhaps later this week. Perhaps the beginning of next week. We don't know. Like to get it done before February, but we'll see what happens. So,
Hey, but by the time we record it, Hannibal will be back on for a fifth season or whatever.
By the time we record it, we'll be doing the 80s and 90s show that we know. Anyway. Still. I still have the notes for it. Still makes me angry. That was back when I used to print them out. I actually had typed colored pieces of paper. That's the one we actually did. I think we did record it, and the recording went bad, and then we never really recorded it, I think that was
happened there.
And that was way back. That was when we recorded what, 20 podcasts to our name at that point or something? 15, I don't know. Anyway. Wow, ramble damble. Okay, so Dan, great to be talking to you again.
You too. Also Ryan.
Yes, great to be with you guys.
Brian, thank you for coming and being a solid contributor to the podcast. It's nice to co-host with somebody who has... No, just kidding. I can't keep doing it. I can't. I'm too tired to be that funny right now anyway. All right, so that's it for me. So I'll just start by saying goodnight to both of you and goodnight to everybody out there.
Good night. Good night, everybody.